Blog Talk Radio.
This is Baby Sleep 911 Help, Episode 30, Rescuing Sleepless Parents. Welcome, everyone, to Baby Sleep 911 Help. I'm your host, Ingrid Pruer. If you're a sleepless parent and would love to teach your child or children how to love sleep and eat well, then you're in the right place. These tips and tricks will help your child go from sleepless to sleeping blissfully based on your parenting philosophy. So if you have a sleep or feed question, please do not hesitate to give me a call. I'm here waiting for, you know, to help you. The number is 646-595-2075. That number again is 646-595-2075. Well, it's been a nice long week getting tons and tons of questions from sleepless families out there wanting to, you know, obviously help their kids get more sleep so that they can actually rest more. And unfortunately, we've had some nasty weather here on the East Coast, and I'm hoping and praying. I can't pray for spring to come any faster. If you're on the East Coast, I feel for you. Tons of snow to shovel, and it doesn't seem to stop. We're expecting another storm tonight and then one in a couple of days. So we better have a really nice spring and summer and hopefully, you know, a late fall start, so that we can actually all start, you know, enjoying this time and getting out there and getting that vitamin D that we all need, right? Because that does help set our biological clocks. It's continuous. It doesn't stop. So it helps our kids, the fresh air and the vitamin D, as well as helping adults. What I'm going to do now is actually get started because we have quite a bit of questions to answer. And we actually have a caller on the line. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take their call first and their question and see, and then go from there. Okay, so they stepped out for a little bit. I'm sure they will get back on. And in the meantime, let me go to those Facebook questions. Thanks to everyone who keeps posting Facebook questions because you are looking for help. So here we have one. It's from Rachel Resnick. Hi, Ingrid. My little one just turned 2 months. His nighttime pattern seems to be 1 to 2 wake-ups between 10:30 and 1:30, 3, 4:30, and 5. These are all in the middle of the night. He's typically up for the day at 6:15. He follows a pattern of up for about an hour and a half to 2 hours, naps in the crib for an hour on the dot, feed, up for an hour and a half to 2 hours, nap for an hour, feed. He gets 4 naps for an hour throughout the day. Bedtime routine starts between 6:45 and 7:15, depending on the sleep cues. How can we get longer stretches at night? He is a breastfed and a big boy, 24 inches and 13 pounds, 6 ounces. Rachel, thank you so much for posting your question on my Facebook page, The Baby Sleep Whisperer. And, wow, so he's 2 months old, and what we find here is that he's actually doing pretty well with the amount of hours of wakefulness. I'm impressed he's doing that great, which is wonderful because you've been looking for his cues. And the way to stretch his night sleep is going to depend on what is actually happening during those wakings. If he is constantly getting nursed during all of those wakings, then we have to see why that is. Why is it that a nursing session doesn't last long enough for him to be able to make it through 4 to 6 hour stretches? That's what you can expect at this age, at 2 months, that their longest stretch period of sleep should be the first half of the night. So they should be able to make it 4 to 6 hours. And even though you're breastfeeding, you could still get him there. So how do we incorporate possibly better efficient feeding? So how long is he eating? If you've heard any of my other shows, I'm very, very big on you have to log, right? So what I would want you to do is start logging his sleep, his mood, you know, how long he's eating for, and for each of the different feedings, because then we can see what the particular pattern is. Are some of those wakings just for comfort soothing to go back to sleep, or are they because he's actually truly hungry? And the way to determine that is to see how long he's eating for those feedings. On a comparing day to day, what is his typical length of feeding time? Is it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 25 minutes? But let's say it's, for example, it's 15 minutes. So all day he's eating for 15 minutes. Then during some of these wakings, he's only eating for 5. Then you know that those are not true feeding wakings. He's actually just waking up to skip stew to go back to sleep. So what we want to do is making him an efficient eater. How can we make sure that when we do give him really good feeding, tried offering the breast maybe twice on each side, burping him well, then putting him down. So then during the next waking, which is not a feeding waking, maybe having your significant other try to soothe him in any way, shape, or form that does not require you having to nurse, right? Because we want to make the distinction that mommy's shop is not open all of the time, because if they snack during the day, or if, I mean, in his case, it doesn't seem like he's snacking so during the day, so it shouldn't really apply at night, but he also shouldn't be asking for food so often at night either, if he's getting satisfied enough. So it has nothing to do with milk supply. It has more to do with, well, if he's learning to snack at night, then he's never going to fill up at any of the true feedings that he should have. So if I say to you, okay, feed him once every 2.5 to 3 hours, right? So if he wakes up after an hour you fed him, you wouldn't go ahead and feed him. What you would do is you would say to yourself, okay, I'm going to sit down here. I'm going to sit up on my bed. I'm going to put him on both breasts, make sure I burp him well, then offer him the breast again so that I know that when he wakes up in an hour, it has nothing to do with food. So instead, my husband and I are going to create a plan as how are we going to tackle the in-between wake-ups? Are we going to rock him to sleep? Are we going to shush and pat? Are we going to implement a sleep training method? Though at this age, I would not recommend it. He is way too young for a sleep training method. So you can do modifications of you. I would want you to be next to him, whether you're rocking, you're shushing and patting. There is no, you know, leaving him to cry it out. But do understand what his cries mean. Are we jumping in too fast to help him when he was actually just going through a sleep transition and we assume that his waking had to do with food or his waking had to do with because he needed us in order to go back to sleep? Something to also keep in mind is how is he going down to sleep for most of the day? Is he feeding to sleep, right? Because if the way he goes down to sleep is the way he's going to expect to go back to sleep every time he wakes. So, Rachel, I hope that answered your question. And feel free to give us an update on the Baby Sleep Whisperer page as to how things are coming along, if anything has changed. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to my caller from the 610 area code.
Hi.
Hello, 610.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
No, of course.
You actually have been working with my sister. You did a web video series with her, Jenny, in Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Oh, right. Okay, awesome.
So, yeah, she has a new baby, and I have a five-month-old, and I also have a two-year-old son. But the issue is with my five-month-old daughter, she we had been having horrible sleep. We just ended up co-sleeping with her, the only way that anybody could get sleep, until about 2 weeks ago when we decided we needed to stop that. And so we went to Cry It Out, and we've been doing that since Friday, and it was working. The first night was terrible, as to be expected, and then the subsequent nights, for like 2 nights, was getting better, and now we're back to, it's hard to get her down to sleep initially, and then she's up either every two or three hours, and it's a little bit tough to get her back to sleep after those waking time, and also her bedtime is about 6 o'clock, and I was wondering if like, that's an appropriate bedtime for her, and also what to do about the night wakings.
Okay. Now, so one of the things that stands out, whenever I hear a parent who's been trying CIO, and let's clarify, right? So crying it out. What plan are you using?
Okay,
are you using something
method.
Where intervals, extinction? Okay, so you're using Fervor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of, what are your intervals?
So last night was day five, and it was 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 17 minutes, I think. Or was 15, 17, 20, actually. 15, 17, 20.
Mm-hmm. 17, 20. Okay. So now that's just the method in itself, right? And so what I want you to do is kind of think of things as a five-layer cake approach. The icing on the cake being sleep training method, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the foundational pieces are not in place, that sleep training method won't work.
Okay.
And so that's why you're seeing, like, maybe it started working, but then it's kind of like it seems that she's regressing and things are not really working out that well. It's probably because one of those foundational pieces was not in place.
Okay.
So what I want to do is, well, we'll discuss a few things. One is the first foundational piece is, you know, creating an environment that's conducive to sleep. Where is she sleeping?
She's sleeping in her room, in her crib, and I've got the room darkening shades and a loud white noise machine.
Okay, when you say loud, how loud?
Probably like 60 decibels.
Decibels, okay.
50,
so
60. Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to make sure that we keep in mind, it's like from 0 to 10, it's a 10?
Maybe it's like an 8.
Like an 8, okay. I want it to be at least 6 feet away from where her crib is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And you want to put it like near a window or near a door where the noise is coming through so it doesn't trigger a waking. Another thing is that we want to make sure, let's see what's in that crib. What do we have in the crib?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So no bumper, no nothing. It's literally a fitted sheet and the baby. And when you put the baby in there, is she in a sleep sack?
Yes.
How
sleep
is she?
Sack.
Okay. Sleep sack, awesome.
Yeah, no swaddle, nothing like that.
No
and
swaddle,
we,
she's on her back or on belly?
On her stomach, actually. And she rolls every which way, back
that's
to front,
fine.
Front to back.
As long as she's getting herself on there, that is not an issue. Something, I don't know if you've watched some of the videos from the Baby Sleep 911 parents.com series, that I really recommend that we place babies towards the bottom of the crib, where their feet are almost touching the railings and them on an angle. And the reason why I recommend that is because we're trying to recreate the womb setting with the walls that they look for. They're always constantly looking to be near something. So if you put them in the middle of the crib, it's like you're putting them in a pool with no water. With no water. In a pool with no bottom. In a pool with no bottom. So that creates anxiety, right? So I want to minimize that.
Her feet touching the bottom or close almost?
Yes. Okay. Almost touching the bottom. Almost like if she stretched her foot a little bit more, she would be touching the bottom.
Okay.
Right? So then when she has that insecure jump of sleep, which many do during sleep transitions, she feels something. She doesn't feel like she's alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to give her security.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so that's like a quick run up of what should be, like what her environment should be like. Now, we need to look at her feeding schedule. What's her feeding schedule?
So she eats basically every 2 hours during the day, but it's more like I feed her before and after every nap. So her naps she has like 3 naps a day, 3 or 4, and they are either 1 hour or the middle of the day she has a 2 hour nap.
Okay, so that you're going to feed her, you feed her before and after. Does she ever fall asleep at the breast?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't just assume nursing. Are you a nurse or are you
that's correct. That's correct. Exclusively breastfed.
Okay, so nursing. And how long is she nursing for at each nursing session?
Probably like 15 minutes, except for the last one before bed. That's like 20 minutes or so.
Okay, perfect. And what's her sleep schedule like is in regards to timing? So what time is she waking up for the day, and what are her naps?
It kind of varies. So she could either wake up at, like, 6 or 7, and then she goes for her next nap either an hour later or an hour and a half later. And then she'll sleep for the first nap is an hour, and then the next nap is an hour and a half later. So every subsequent nap is an hour and a half after the first, after she's woken up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that second nap is the one you said it's 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a third nap.
Yeah.
That third nap happens at an hour and a half later. Okay. And then from there, she wakes up. What time does she typically wake up?
So if it's like 3 o'clock or something that she'll wake up, or 3:30, then I'll still put her down for another nap an hour and a half later if it's any time before 5:30, basically. And she'll sleep for a half hour for that last fourth nap.
And how often is she getting the fourth nap?
Almost every day, I'd say.
Okay. Because typically at 5 months of age, I recommend that they still be on a 3 nap and not a 4 nap schedule. But what time is her bedtime? She still goes down at 6 o'clock for bedtime?
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't make. Regardless, even if you gave her a fourth nap, she still goes down at 6 for bedtime.
Yeah, so like last night she got up, she had a nap and she got up from it at like 5:15, let's say, and I or 5:20, and then I put her down. It was about 6:15.
Oh, okay.
So like
let me ask you something. Now, you're putting her down. What time does she wake up after that?
The first go around would be it's really hard to get her down. It takes like an hour and a half for her to fall asleep, and then
because you're putting her down too early. That's
too early.
Exactly.
Okay.
Where I was gonna. Oh, absolutely. There's no way she's ready for that. At this point, from her last nap to bedtime, it should be 3 hours from the time that she woke up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No later than 6. Yeah. So
That's
why I want you to give her only 3 naps a day.
Uh huh. Okay.
And bedtime's going to be anywhere between 5:30 and 7 p.m., depending on what time she woke up from her last nap.
Oh, okay.
So
if she woke up from that nap at, 3:30, then she'd be going to bed, almost 3 hours after that.
Correct. 6:30.
Okay, wow. I'm surprised if she'd be able to stay up that long, but definitely worth trying.
Yeah, I mean, you can do, 2.5. If she can't make it to 3, I don't want you to stretch her. So 2.5 to 3 hours. But she's not going to be ready within 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the first thing to do. Stretch her for bedtime. Her bedtime is anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours from the time that she woke up from her third nap. Don't offer her a fourth nap.
Okay,
so that's change number one. And if that's not in place, that's why everything else is not working. Do you see how... These foundational pieces, I'm all about the five-layer cake, layers of the cake. If you don't have all that sweetness, the sleep training method is not going to work. The icing on the cake is nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, just icing is not the same as a good cake with some icing on it. Yeah.
Okay.
So that is one of the main reasons why you see, one, there's a struggle to go down.
Mm-hmm.
That just sets the tone for the rest of the night. And so she's having wakings in between. Now, are you feeding her in the middle of the night?
Yes.
Which is fine if you are. Okay.
Yes, every wake up. So it's like every 3 hours these past couple nights. Yes, I've been feeding her. She doesn't fall asleep while doing that. So I feed her, and then I put her right down in the crib.
Okay, and she goes down no issue?
No. No, she'll start crying half the time. She'll start crying half the time she falls asleep.
Okay, and are you good about burping her before you lay her down?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she gets good burps out. You've tried different positions.
Yeah, I mean, it's just usually one. It's always been just one burp. So I can get that out of her before I put her down. Yeah, I do that.
Okay. Now, I think you should see a difference with changing her bedtime.
Okay.
That she should actually sleep better. That means that she'll actually eat a little bit more before she goes down for the night. So she should have enough storage for the, for a good 4 to 6 hours initially without having to ask for feeding. Then what I want you to do is kind of what I was mentioning to the Facebook, or to Rachel who posted a question on Facebook, that what we want to do is actually time how long we're feeding her in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And see which ones are true feeding, then which ones are just naps to go back to sleep.
Okay.
Right? Then from there, in between, when it's not a real true feeding, you use the sleep training method.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Once I figure out which one is not real.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So you can't use the sleep training method yet. Not until you know which one is a true feeding and which one's not. Then from there, once we established, then you use the sleep training method in between. Then you can start weaning her off of one feeding at a time. With weaning, it's not about just stopping and feeding her. I think that's cruel. I think what you would want to do, what I always recommend, is that's why I want you to jot down how long she eats for. Because let's say she eats for 15 minutes. Then the next night, I want you to feed her for 14 minutes for one feeding. So you choose one feeding to wean her off at a time. With the idea that if we wean her off by 1 minute, then she will take more food at the next feeding. And so that's how we are redistributing calories.
Okay.
And so once you're done with that one feeding, the first night feeding is gone, then you start working on the second night feeding. So with the idea of you know how long you're feeding her for as your baseline, then you do 1 minute less each night from that baseline. And then she will start taking more calories at the following feeding. So that's how you would do it.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Well,
helpful?
That's great. Yes, very helpful. Thank you. I'm excited to start this tonight with her later nap. And it'll be much easier for me with my my two-year-old, too, if she doesn't have that last nap, because it was always a challenge with him coming home from school and trying to get her that last nap. And she and I haven't been I've been holding her for all naps because I wanted to get the night sleep under control before tackling her napping in her crib. Is that
okay,
undermining everything?
Yes, it's confusing her.
Okay.
You know how it's so funny, but this is how I go back to the foundational pieces are so incredibly important. The five layers of the cake, if they're not there, that's why the sleep training methods don't work.
Okay. Because that's funny because Ferber suggests getting your night sleeping under control before tackling nap. Okay, well,
I know.
So I could, yeah.
It's confusing. Let's say, how does she know the difference?
I know, yeah.
Like, oh, this one they hold me for, this one they don't. They don't know the difference.
Right,
they have
that's
no
true.
Clue. I mean, it's not like, they have a level of understanding, but they don't have that. They don't know why sometimes you do X and why sometimes you do Y. So I'm always of your even keel. The more consistent you are, the more predictable you are, the more they trust you.
Okay.
If we're inconsistent, you know, as she gets older, there's going to be moments of where you're going to say, no, and then you're finally going to be like, okay, yes, fine, go ahead to do something. If that starts happening too often, that's when it's going to start affecting sleep. Because then she will get used to that, oh, mom doesn't really mean what she says. Eventually she's going to cave in, so I'm just going to keep going. Or train them to get them to a certain level of hysterics, and then we say, okay, fine. But why do that to the child? That's not fair to them. If you can't make up your mind and stick with it, right? So that's, just think about, like, what you can do now and the foundation that you're setting for the rest of her life.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Consistency is key. When anyone says you don't need to be consistent, it's not logical.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
Right.
Well, good luck. Okay. Would you mind giving us a call next week and letting us know how everything went?
Yes, absolutely.
That would be fun. Right. Thank you so much for getting
touch. Sure. Thanks. Thanks a lot for your help.
Okay,
appreciate
no problem.
It.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Wonderful. So that was a perfect situation of how sleep training methods sometimes, or for the most part, actually don't work unless you have the foundational pieces in place. It is extremely, extremely important that they're there. So I'm very big on the five foundational pieces, five layers of the cake. I like to, and it's so funny, I don't really have much of a sweet tooth, but I feel like if you're going to get to sleeping blissfully, there's got to be something sweet about it, like sweet dreams and everything. So think about this, five layers of the cake. The first layer is that you need an environment that's conducive to sleep. The second layer, we need to make sure that the child is eating efficiently. It has nothing to do with, oh, my child eats every half an hour, every 45 minutes, or every hour. That's not eating efficiently. Your child should not be starving that often. Why is that happening, right? Are we maybe not taking the time to feed them properly? Are we maybe just saying, okay, I'm going to put you on, but not really paying? You're not doing mindful parenting? We are in a society where we need to multitask, right? And what happens is that we step back. I want everybody to step back and say, okay, if it's time to eat, I am going to be here and focus on my child. I'm going to give them food, and I'm going to do it mindfully. I'm going to feed on one end, feed them on the other. And if you're bottle feeding, I want you also to take the time. How many ounces is your child eating? Then take the time to burp them well in between, then burp them again after the feeding, right? And so that's quality time. But if we're not even writing it down, then we're not even being mindful of how our children are eating. That's going to impact their sleep. That's going to impact them in general. So you can start this as early as day one. It's not about putting your child on a schedule as of day one. It's being mindful, being a mindful parent. Right? So that incorporating efficient eating. Then it's how are they sleeping? Their schedule, their sleep schedule is so important. If their sleep schedule is not in place, then they're actually getting overtired. If they're getting overtired, what happens? It's going to take a lot longer to get them to sleep because they're in an overtired state. It's like when you are in an overtired state, which most of you are because your children are not necessarily sleeping well, you finally put them to bed. This is a scenario. You finally put them to bed. You lay in bed, and now you're trying to count sheep to get yourself to sleep. And it could take you 45 minutes to an hour, and you're going, but I'm exhausted. Why is it that I just can't close my eyes and just go to sleep? You can't because you're overtired. With a child, it's painful for them to be overtired, so they're going to start screaming and just kind of anything that you do, they're going to push you away because they're going to say, that's not what I want. Or they might just want to go to the breast. Why? Because the breast produces melatonin, the melatonin that they need to get to sleep. So that's when you go in, you run into the whole, I need to feed to sleep, right? And that's constant. And that comes to a head at a certain point. There is not one parent that doesn't get exhausted out of their mind, feeling like they can't keep going one more extra day with when the child has a very strong feed to sleep association. Why? Because I know what that means. That means that the child is constantly looking for food, constantly looking for food. So there you go with no efficient eating, right? So it's important that we make sure that we get them down at the right sleep times that is appropriate for their age group. You can go on my website, babysleepwhisperer.com. You will find information under the blog for the various ages and what the timings are, okay? Then we want to make sure that we're weaning them off of sleep associations. It still has nothing to do with a sleep training method. We haven't even gotten to that point. If you know your child is feeding to sleep, you want to break the seal when you know that they've actually stopped eating and then they're just sucking to eat, whether it's nursing or bottle feeding, right? You want to make sure that if you are rocking them, start minimizing the amount of rocking. Because it's important that you do that because you're not going to be able to continuously rock them their entire life. They get heavy. I have worked with clients that need back surgery without exaggeration. Literally, they hired me because they need to have back surgery from all the rocking that they've done. Carpal tunnel. Most parents have carpal tunnel issues because of the way they're holding and carrying their baby and, you know, and rocking them and bouncing them. I knew a couple that bounced their child until the child was 2.5, 3 years old. That doesn't show that you love your child more because you bounce them to sleep, because you rock them to sleep. If anything, you haven't taught them to be independent. And that is something as parents, we need to teach our kids. They go off to school. They're expected to know a lot of things. So I want you to think about this. Now, the last layer of the cake before we get to the sleep training method is that we want to make sure that we're giving them the cues that sleep is coming, right? So we want to bring them into their room, pull down the shades, turn on the white noise. We want to make sure that we're home to give them their naps in the appropriate location. So if we make this a priority, then what we're going to run into is that if we have to use a sleep training method, in many cases you don't have to, your child will sleep better. So I'm going to wrap up today's show. I hope you all enjoyed it. So this is an episode of Baby Sleep 911 Help. If you did enjoy it, please join the conversation on my blog and as well as on the Baby Sleep Whisperer Facebook page. You can go to my website, babysleepwhisperer.com, and download my free report, 7 Tips to Help My Baby to Sleep Like an Angel. When we're off the air, feel free to post your feed and sleep questions on the Baby Sleep Whisperer Facebook page, and we will make sure to answer them on our next show if we have time in between callers. Wishing all of you more sleep soon. Lots of virtual hugs, and talk to you guys soon. Take care. Bye.